Mike, 1969 saw the return of Elmer Tran and his 45 goals, plus league-leading 144 points. Neil Armstrong had a career year with 54 goals, and the old warhorse Donnie Craigs had 44 more. Where was this Man Cup won, and did it feel that much sweeter with you and your old buddy Elmer on the team?
Well, that Man Cup was won in New Westminster. We played off against New Westminster Blues at the time. It was very sweet because we actually had an extremely powerful team, because most of our players from the East that played pro in 67, 68 had all come back. Players such as, like, we had Merv Marshall playing goal for us. We had like Elmer and had come back. Most of the other players, the top players from the teams had all come back, because the ones that had played for Bishop in Detroit, they'd all, that team was more or less dispersed. Some of them had gone to play pro out in Kitchener, but most of them were back in our league. So it was a good feeling. We had a good league. But out west, they still, most of their teams from the pro league stayed intact. So the team that we played, New Westminster Blues, was an extremely weak team, and we had very little problem with them. That was the only thing. We were a class in their own. Neil Armstrong had he had just come out of junior. He did have a crackerjack year. It was his big year. Craigsy, who was by now quite a veteran lacrosse player, and could score any time he wanted to, really by just like his old desire thing. And he was a big factor. He was playing coach of that team. It was a fun group of guys. It was a lot of fun.
1907 saw the folding of the two-year pro league and the return of all the stars. Redmond had 820 goal scorers, including some new guns like Larry Lloyd, Chuck Lee, Ross Jones, Charlie Marlowe, and Mike Lewis. You only played 6 games that year, as the Brooklyn Redmen moved their home games to Osho Civic Auditorium. Why did you only play 6 games that season, and what can you remember about that year?
Well, I can remember, exactly why I only played 6 games. In the 6th game of the season, I was taking a shot in the net, running on a breakaway on a shot in net, and Gordy Thompson hit me from behind, and I smashed into the knee, smashed my knee into the board, back boards of at the Civic, and hit on where the board, the little board, rider board along that, with the top of the ice, just above where the ice would have been, hit my knee on there, and buggered my knee up and was out for the rest of that year, that bad knee. The reason the Redmen had moved down there is that they figured that they could draw more people, make more money at the Civic than at the time that they were drawing in Brooklyn, because at that time the max you could probably get in Brooklyn, you know, at the time was 1,100 people. The fire departments were starting to give us a hassle, and causing us to restrict the number of people in the building. So we moved to Oshawa. It seemed to be good. We started off with reasonably good crowds, because we had a lot of ex-Green Gael stars from the Bishop late 60s team, like Chuck Lee and Larry Lloyd and Charlie Marlowe, and that core of players, which helped with the identity and getting the people to come out and watch us. I think the biggest problem with that thing was that they didn't change the name to Oshawa and kept the Brooklyn name, which hurt them, I think, a bit on the attendance thing. And that was one of the reasons we ended up moving back out of Oshawa, was because the attendance dropped off. It wasn't feasible to operate out of that rink.
Mm-hmm. Mike, your playing career with Brooklyn Redmen lasted... No, here we go. 1971 was your last season to play lacrosse. Why did you retire so young? You were only 29. Red Crawford and Elmer were still with the team, and Glenn Lawton played a handful of games.
Well, my injury from 1970, I played 1971, but I was, you know, I still, now by now I couldn't run very well because I had a bad knee, and also starting to get a little fat. When I was a good lacrosse player, I played at 165, 170 pounds. Now at 180 pounds, I was a little slow to play my game, which was a defensive game, ball getting loose balls, and I normally checked the top player on the opposing team, the top forward. Now I was a little too slow, I couldn't do my game, and I achieved every possible thing you could do, a middle cup, man cups, there was nothing really more I had to accomplish. So I decided to pack her in rather than and still play and hurt the team. Which in the 1970 team or 71 team, we had a team like Aurora in the league which didn't even win a game. So I could play very easily against that type of team. But with the game against a team like Peterborough, I was just too slow to play against good players that Peterborough had at that time.
Mike, your playing career with Brooklyn Redmen lasted 8 seasons and included 2 Man Cups. With 181 games played as a Brooklyn Redmen, you still stand 19th all-time on the Redmen top games played list. You played 3 years of Junior A, including being on 1 Minnow Cup winner. What would you say your highlight of playing was, and do you have any regrets?
Well, I have no regrets. I have lots of fun playing all the years of lacrosse I played. I made lots of great friends that I still have today. Most of the people from the lacrosse community I know very, very well, and it's all people that I met through lacrosse. So, you know, I've always enjoyed myself. Probably one of the greatest thrills was when I was a kid was playing with my two uncles on the same team with my two uncles. My other uncle was the coach of that team. And the other great thrill was when I played on the Green Gales and we won the Minto Cup. That was the first time I'd ever been on a Canadian championship team. That was the next great thrill of my life.
Mike, with a fairly long playing career, you are still remembered for your work as a builder. It was you that got me following lacrosse from more than a fan point of view back in 1988 when you suggested I take over the job of a LA statistician. Since we don't keep records of builders, can you try to remember the steps you took starting in 1972? I know you were a coach, general manager, secretary, president, trainer, and water boy for the Brooklyn Redmen, and for a great number of years were commissioner of the OLA Major Series. Try to run down those years if you can.
Well, when I came to senior lacrosse with the Brooklyn Redmen, it was the Brooklyn Senior A lacrosse team, and we used different nicknames during that period of time. I think it was around 1969, I was the player rep on the executive. So 69 and 70 and 71, I was the team player rep. So I was involved in the executive as the rep for the team on the executive. And in 1972, the team decided that they were moving back to Brooklyn in 1972, and they had by then what had happened was the Senior A League there was a bit of a fight started with senior. They started the Major League. This is when the time when Senior A and Major became one. The Senior A League, there was a bit of a fight going on. They started this Major League. The main reason the fight was on. The people that run the Senior A League, Kells and the Peterborough group, and Kells, who's in Brantford, the Peterborough group, hated Brooklyn to the point that they said they shouldn't be in major lacrosse. The rink wasn't up to the par of the other teams' rinks. So they formed the Major Series. And the Senior Bs, there wasn't really a senior, the Senior Bs at the time, wasn't that big of a league of going on there. There was two branches, an Eastern and Western branch. So what happened was that Brooklyn and Brampton at that time decided that they would stay with Senior A. And because I had been with the team at the executive level before, and I had quit playing, they asked me if I'd take the job on as general manager and coach, which I did. I took that job on as GM and coach. It was a tough go that year because Bishop was running the team down in Windsor, and he had taken a lot of our better players from 71, but we were able to make it through and actually got to the Ontario finals, and my two best players, Elmer and Craigsie, had to go out west because their kids were playing in the National Pee Wee Championships after we were up 3-2 in the playoffs. So, and we lost. In 73, I was vice president of the team. I'd taken the job on as vice president. And we we thought, well, we brought in Bob Hanna. He was going to be the coach, and Frank Wilbur was going to be the manager of that team. We figured we would be able to get back into the we're joining back in, and now it's a major team because they their little experiment hadn't worked out. We went back in as a major team in Brooklyn, and we figured that Frank Wilbur could entice a lot of the ex-Green Gales to come on board and play in Brooklyn, and Hanna, who had been Bishop's buddy and had played with us, would be our coach. But the problem was we just weren't able to track the players, and we folded halfway through that year. That was the end of the Brooklyn Senior A lacrosse team as it had existed since 1961. Hmm. It had always been, and that was the last year of it. And there was no lacrosse, folded it up in 73, and in 76, Charlie Renaud Ross and I decided that we would form a team again, and we'd be a major team. We had been Senior A. The Brooklyn had been a Brooklyn Senior A lacrosse team up until they folded in 73. Now we formed a new team in 1976, and we called ourselves Brooklyn Redmond. The old team was always known as Brooklyn Senior A lacrosse team, using different nicknames like Hillcrest or Merchants or Redmond or whatever name they just Metal Crest or whatever they wanted to use. The 76 team, we were going to go with local players, and we did that. We used a basic nucleus was a group of overage junior B players that had played for the Whitby B&R junior B team. And we started that first year, and we were very surprised at how well we drew our home games. We were sold out to all our home games, back in the rink, and we ended up in last place, but we had a very respectable finish off in the league. We were quite happy. And by 1977, we now were starting to attract some better quality players. And and as the time went on, 77, we were able to move up to third place team. By 78, we were moving up. We're up now to in a league which was a 18 league when we were in third place.
And what was your position?
I was general manager. I was GM. And after we formed the team in 76, I took the job as general manager to build that team up. We were using a different approach to the game. We weren't going to be paying players. We were going to be trying to operate with use of local players as much as we possibly could, and we were trying to be competitive, which we were. Every year we got better. 79, we ended up in second place. And in 1980, we actually we ended up in first place, and we went to represent Eastern Canada in the First Nations Cup, which was held in the West, and that was a tournament between Australia, the U.S., Iroquois Native team, and an East-West Canadian lacrosse team. This was the first international type of major box lacrosse tournament in 1980. We got snowballed out there badly by the referees, and we got hurt in that we lost one of our players, Jim Branton, at that time, and he was suspended for problems we got in out there, which I think probably was a record in lacrosse when we played a game against the Iroquois, and we had something like 28 straight penalties called against us, and they had none. Which didn't seem to be quite right, that no one team would get 28 straight penalties in over a period of game and the other team would have none. But that's what happened. It caused a lot of frustration, but by now we had accomplished where we'd wanted to be. We were now a legitimate top contending lacrosse team by 1980. And
were you still general manager then?
I was general manager right through until 1986. And 1985 was our big year. It was the big year. This was probably one of the greatest lacrosse teams, one of the greatest lacrosse teams in Brooklyn, but achieved one of the greatest lacrosse accomplishments in that we went to the Man Cup. Now Brooklyn had been in Man Cup in other years when they win in 64 and 65. We won the first three games and lost the next four. We were up 3-1 in both the series and lost in seven. But this time we go out west in 1985. I'm the general manager. I'd actually started off as coach and general manager that year, and I brought Pete Vipon in as assistant coach, and I elevated him up to run the bench by the middle of the season because he was doing a good job with the players, and they actually related well with him. We lost the first three games and won the next four, which as Jim Bishop once told me, is probably the greatest accomplishment of any team in lacrosse. In a national championship, it's the only time I think it's ever been done in 85, is to win, lose the first three, but win the next four. But to do it when you're on the road, is, he said, that's what makes it for the greatest accomplishment in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. And he said, that was a great thrill to do that type of thing. But by then, we had become a powerhouse of a team here in the East. In 86, by 86, I mean, our league was starting to fall apart because what happened... the 85, we had a good, strong 7-team league. But by then, Brooklyn was so much, and Peterborough were so much more powerful than the rest of the teams that everybody was threatening to quit. In 86, we were down to a 3-team league.
Was that your commissioner?
No, 86, I was still general manager of the Redmen. And what happened in 86, I was still the general manager. And when it came around, by then the CLA had gone bankrupt. And when it come time for the Man Cup, there was the West was the all, they had the WLA, which was a well-structured league. We were going to have a league meeting, and the commissioner of our league, we were supposed to have the league meeting in Brampton. I go to Brampton to the league meeting. The commissioner doesn't even show up to the meeting, and the Man Cup is supposed to start on in 4 or 5 days' time. So the other teams didn't want to get involved in the Man Cup. In 1984, we'd had the Man Cup in Peterborough, and we'd started trying to be as a group because the CLA was bankrupt. And 85, when we went out west, we went out on our own. Because the CLA was bankrupt, and paid our own bills, and we did get some money back from the WLA. But by 86, it was the Brooklyn took on the Man Cup, which was probably the biggest thing we ever did, was take on the whole running of the Man Cup, because none of the other teams wanted to be involved in it. And at that meeting, it was decided that whatever profit we would make, we would keep. Well, in 86, we drew very well at Iroquois Park. And I think that was probably, at that time, the Brooklyn Redmen were at its richest state. At the end of that year, we had nearly $60,000 in the bank.
Wow.
We were a very well-to-do operation. But lacrosse was in rough shape at the major league level because we were very short on teams. We had three teams. And that was my last year. The next year, I took the job on as commissioner of the league because now we only had two teams. Because Brampton folded. So there was two teams, Brooklyn and Peterborough. So we had to do something at the time. So what we did, we joined this, we found in the Constitution that the Constitution said if there was not enough teams to have a major league, that the OLA had to put us in the senior league, which we did. For a lot of infighting in lacrosse, but we joined up with the senior league with Ferguson, Owen Sound, and Orangeville, and Scarborough, and a couple other, Sarnia and Mississauga, but they didn't like us being in their league, and then we requested that whoever was their top team would have to play us in playoffs so we'd have some legitimate type of playoff, which they hated, because they were going to be going for the President's Cup, and they didn't want to have their top team battered up, so it happened to be that it was Fergus, but I said, give us a chance. I was taking the job at Mary. I said, give us a chance, we'll get reorganized, and I said, we'll rebuild this thing back up. In 88, I was able to get the Brampton team back in business again with Everett Coates and Bob Sanderson. We'll get that team going again in 88. And we slowly picked away at that until we had a legitimate league running again. I guess it probably about '89 we were still playing the three, but probably about '92 I think we got a legitimate league. By '93 we got a legitimate league going of five major league teams. But that was probably one of the toughest times for major lacrosse in Ontario, because when we were down to two teams, it looked like it was dead, done. That would have been the end of senior and major lacrosse. And over the next period of years from '86 to '93, we slowly built that thing back up until we had a five-team league. In the meantime, during that period of time, we even tried to get people more interested in major lacrosse and senior lacrosse. Our big experiment was to see if maybe we were playing at the wrong season, as the Americans were doing this major indoor lacrosse league, the Mill League. They were playing in the winter, so we tried it in '91, formed a league in 1991 with Guelph, which was the Peterborough bunch, Brantford, which was the Brampton bunch, and Whitby, which was the Brooklyn group, and we got on a new team out of Buffalo, which was actually the Can-Am All-Stars, basically. And that was just to see, maybe we were playing the wrong time of the year. We didn't know, we were in experimental stage through that period of time to try to develop major lacrosse back in Ontario. And we eventually did by now.
Were you the commissioner of that league, too?
No, I was the owner of the Whitby Steelhawks. I bought that team, originally put up the money, $5,000, and I was the owner of the Steelhawks, and I was the treasurer of the league. And Dave Thomas from Peterborough was the commissioner. And I sold the team before we ever played a game to Paul Cotton, and then he put up the franchise fee was $15,000. And he put up I sold it to him for what the $5,000 I had paid for it, and then he put in the extra $10,000, and he asked me to come on board with him team manager, assistant general manager. So I was the assistant manager with the Steelhawks and the league treasurer of that league. And then just move on, after that. It was a good thing. We learned a lot, but we were never able to make strong enough arena contacts, and we only really had one strong arena to play out of, and that was in Brantford. We had a floor in there which wasn't really a very good floor. The Whitby Steelhawks never played a home game. They played all their games on the road. And the Peterborough group, which made a mistake of not locating that team in Peterborough, but going to Guelph, and because they had the good carpet in Peterborough at the time, they should have stayed there, but they didn't. They thought they could draw better in Guelph. And at the end of the year, we disbanded the league because we couldn't get arena commitments to make it operate. But at the same time, I was still doing the job as the commissioner of the major league. I did that job until I did it. '95, I guess, was my last year of commissioner. And then that league. And I went to. I went on. When I quit as commissioner, I told them that I would. They wanted me to stay on, so I stayed on as assistant commissioner for 2 years with
Bruce Hood.
Bruce Hood. Yeah. I thought maybe at that time, and this was what I thought was the best thing for the league, is if we got somebody that was a lot better known individually, that we were to try to go out and make as a league to get corporate sponsorship, because I had been able to get the Man Cup on national television because of the baseball strike, and we were able to get the Man Cup televised. I thought, now where we've got to this level, if we can now go one step farther and get some major corporate league money, then we could promote the game at a league level, which we would probably get some type of more television coverage, more exposure, and draw better crowds. At the time, the crowds, we weren't drawing bad crowds in the league. Like the Six Nations were drawing good crowds. Brooklyn was packing their rink. Peter was drawing good crowds. But to get over the top, we needed to get some major corporate money. And I thought Bruce Hood could do that. Well, he wasn't able to do that. And after a couple years doing that, I got out of that, and that's when Jim Brady took over as the Major League Commissioner. And I did help out. I run the for them. I did in '98. They asked me if I would, because Brampton was hosting the Man Cup, and they had a brand new arena, and they asked me if I'd take on the job of running the Man Cup in Brampton. And I took on that job, and we made a substantial amount of money for all the different major teams. I had one of the things that I'd after the 86 Man Cup, and when we had when Brooklyn took the Man Cup on, and the other teams seen how much money we had made, and when I became commissioner, I said, well, the thing is, if we all cooperate, we can all make money from lacrosse, all the teams, as long as the teams don't get go too nutty at paying players, which is the big main downfall, which seems to always be the route that kills the game off. And this is what when that starts up and it just becomes a war where the people of teams are paying out more than they're taking in, and eventually it's going to serve as time on the people, especially the game. Took on that job with in 98. We made money. Every team got money. The teams have made money when we split the Man Cups off after in 88. All the teams made money. In 90, all the teams made money. 92, all the teams made money. 94, all the teams made money. 96, all the teams made money. And in 98, I took that job just so they could all make money again, and they all did. And by getting in that new Brampton arena, we got everybody. We had big crowd, good crowds, because the arena was new, and it was good exposure for the Brampton team. They were that was probably their best year of attendance through that year of the Man Cup. And then my other involvements I was doing, I did the Rogers thing for Brooklyn. And Rogers is a color man with Roger Lajoie for Rogers TV for 90, I think it was 99 season. And I came back out of retirement to Pete Vipond and Bob Vespe in 2000 asked me if I would take on the job as general manager of the Redmen again, because they had been involved with the team in the Paul Cotton era of the Redmen, and they asked me if I'd come out of retirement and take on the team as general manager. I said no, I wouldn't, but I would take on the job as co-manager with Bob Vespe, as co-general manager, and then I agreed that I'd do that. Then my job task would be to do the league meetings, to evaluate the players and do the draft for them, which I did do. And then when we got around to having our meetings, I ended up being the assistant general manager, and Bessie took on the title job as the GM. But at first went there, we were going to be co-general managers, and that was more or less the way I went. And that year I did that. So when I did that, I also did the color for them on the radio. Radio did all the games and the Man Cup that year. I did the color on the radio. And then that was actually in the after the 2001 season. Barry Johnson and Calvin Curtis fired me because they said that I didn't have much background.
And then did you come on board with
the Merchants,
didn't you?
I went on as general manager of the Merchants.
Was that 2002 or one?
2002. Yeah.
And then what did you do since then?
I did that for a couple
last
of years.
5 years.
I did that for a couple of years, and then I was on the Merchants executive, and then last year I was on the Redmen executive, and when I I actually quit halfway through the year, in the middle of the season last year, because it seemed to be that whatever I suggested something, they didn't like it, and they always had these another job every for me. It started off.